Welcome to episode 31 of season 9 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the Die Hard duo, Die Hard 4.0 and Die Hard 5.0, 5 minutes at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is John Barker of the Batminute. Welcome back to the show, John.
I'm back again. Yes, thank you.
I'm glad that you're here, and just get out of the way.
Fine.
Call a cop. So, episode 31 begins with the chase continuing through a crowded area, which is a typical movie trope, and ends with the truck tank continuing to move forward. So, we ended
the truck tank.
Yeah. We ended things with, John confronting Jack not caring and deciding to continue, to try and get Yuri to safety. Again, we don't know why. A very strange moment because, at this point, nobody knows what's happening. Unless you've already seen the whole movie, but other than that, absolutely no clue.
No. But you don't learn much, as we said last episode as well. You don't learn much as it goes on. You get a bit of a clue, but
yeah, a little bit of a clue, but not much.
But these minutes now, I think these ones and the ones we're going to talk about later in the week, I quite like the action. I don't feel like it's been earned. I feel like it's just thrown in. But I think the actual staging of the action is pretty good, and it's interesting. We just don't really care about the characters in the chase. That's the problem.
Right. That's part of the problem, too. I agree. It's similar to what they did at the end of Live Free or Die Hard. You know, where they're just barreling through the streets, just crashing through cars, and that's it.
Yeah. Oh God, yeah. I mean, these guys, there must be hundreds of dead Russians. Like, this is crazy. And John's going to be to blame for some of them. You know, not all of them, but some of them.
Yeah. We'll get there. We'll get there. So as this chase begins, so we actually first, we see that they're going through looks like a pedestrian area, where they're able to walk through, and maybe Jack thinks that he can get out of the way by doing that. And you can see in the distance, not the far distance, even, very close to where the van is, there's a hotel in front of them called the Mercure Hotel. So I actually looked it up to see where the Mercure Hotel is. And I actually found that there are two of them in Moscow.
Oh, we'll book them then. You go to one, I'll go to the other, and we'll compare and contrast.
Yeah, seriously. So basically, I can't even tell you very much about them because everything I found is all in Russian. But I found the fact that they're both 4-star hotels.
Oh, okay. Nice.
They are both considered to be excellent locations according to the internet, with the fact that they are nice and close to tourist attractions, I guess.
That makes sense, yeah. I mean, hotels like that, you want them to be sort of central.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of them looks much more like what we see here as they drive past it really quickly, with the red neon sign outside. So it's very possible that this actually is the one. But again, it says that it's on Bakrushina Street. That anyone out there who actually knows Russia or has been here and knows what we're talking about, feel free to let me know.
Yeah, I can't say I've not been to Russia. I do. I've always wanted to go, to be honest. But obviously, right now is not the best time. So maybe one day.
Possibly. And it's actually not that expensive either. Ooh. It's about $60-something a night.
Very, for 4 stars, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, and I believe that that includes breakfast. Yeah, see, there you go. Includes breakfast.
I'm one of those people, though. I'm like, I'm not getting breakfast in the hotel. I'm going to explore the city. And I regret it every day because I'm like tired, but I do it anyway. I'm like, oh, I need to go find somewhere nice to eat.
No, but the difference is when you actually get the breakfast in the hotel, so then you have more choices.
I know, but I want to find somewhere. I'm one of these pretentious people. I want to go to where the locals are having their breakfast and eat
Okay, but
that.
so you're basically saying you don't like buffets. You don't like having,
I
a
don't, because
choice
it's
of
all
taking
the,
a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
and it's usually the food I can get at home, you know? Like, but I understand the appeal because you're tired. You just want to get some food in you so you've got some energy. I get it, you know? And I hate myself every day, but I do it. I drag myself out. I go and find some amazingly random place, and it's always worked out well in the end, but
Okay, that's important.
physically it's difficult.
Okay, makes sense. So basically, this chase goes down this small little pedestrian street. They're just running over everything. You see that they're, any cafes that are around there, they're just ramming through all of the chairs and umbrellas and tables, and we don't see anyone get hit. So
No.
I guess it's early enough in the morning that nobody's out there having their breakfast. Maybe everyone just stayed in the hotel instead
No,
of
that's actually a good point, though. I think it's very, very early. Because if you think about it, the court will want to start quite early on. But maybe after breakfast, actually. So maybe the breakfast is done. Maybe.
Maybe. Again, we have
That's what
absolutely no idea what time this is.
No, because you can't tell because of the stupid filter that's on it to make it look Russian.
That's
Because they
true.
assume, oh, Russia's dull. Make it dull. It's like, well,
Right.
ah, great. It's a bit like whenever they do a scene in movies in like Mexico. It's like, oh, put that like orange filter on it. It's like, oh,
Right,
for
exactly. Yeah. And then the chase continues, and he leaves the pedestrian area and goes into the street, and then this truck tank just plows through like a monument. You couldn't swerve a little bit. That's right.
No, it's absolutely bonkers, the
That's
whole thing. This is why the chase is actually quite good, because it's when you think about it like that, it's nuts.
And then he smashes into a car, and you see people just watching, and Alex just shakes his head. And then John decides to, he finds a again, we talked about yesterday that I don't know what to call all of these vehicles. John finds a BMW Range Rover, I guess you can sort of say, and commandeers it and just starts driving with it. That's it. He's following them, which it's gonna be really easy to follow this chase, especially because John, I'm sure John knows the entire geography of this whole area. It makes a lot of sense.
Again, I don't want to be too negative, but again, that's something that's crazy. It's like he's driving around like he knows this city. And we know he's not
Exactly.
been there.
Right. He's never been there before.
Never. And it doesn't seem to faze him. It doesn't even seem to faze him that he's in the middle of this crazy action. What's he doing? He should be like freaking out.
Yeah, he should be, but he's John McClane.
He should be panicking though. Like, again, he doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know the roads. There might, there's different driving customs, and he's trying not to kill people. It doesn't seem to faze him. No, doesn't break a sweat.
Yeah, not at all. And so, the chase continues, and now we have three cars in the chase. And Jack is making some really, really tight turns. You see that Jai Courtney is really hamming it. I mean, it's just way too much the way that his facial expressions go when he's just making these tight turns.
Right, it is. I completely agree, but I will say, in its defense, at least he's doing something here.
Right.
Because
Okay.
throughout a lot of the movie, he's not doing anything.
Right. That's true.
I'd rather he put some effort in.
And he's doing a good job of not hitting other cars. So that's certainly a
Yes.
good thing too. He's got the smallest of them, but still, he decides to keep going. And so when John commandeered this BMW, so he screams, "Get out of the way!" And and someone looks at him and like, and he goes, "Call a cop."
That's a classic, like John line. That's great, I think.
And
See,
then,
he should team up with a Russian cop. That would be fun.
like Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, but like, I love that movie, right? But it's not a good movie, if that makes sense. I love it because it's a
Oh no.
Schwarzenegger film, but
That's right.
as an actual like objective movie, it's not good.
That's what movie that the plot is just terrible. We're talking
Yeah.
about Red Heat, if anyone's wondering. And
But we love it
I
just
love
because of who's
Belushi
in
in it.
it.
Okay, Belushi is fun in that movie. And there's no question about it.
Absolutely. I think it's
Even
one
though
of his
even
best performances.
yeah, because James Belushi is not a guy that you would normally think of as a cop.
Well, no, actually tying it back to the previous episode with me on, Twin Peaks: The Return, he's in that.
Oh, really?
That is his greatest performance. He went from someone who everybody was sort of laughed at, like, oh, the bad Belushi. So you love him in it. He's incredible.
Interesting.
I
Okay.
know, it's mind blowing.
I always liked him in comedies, but that's fine. Even though the comedies he did were all over the top anyway.
Be honest, most of his Twin Peaks scenes are the funny ones, so it's good,
Really?
you
Okay.
know. It's all right.
That's fair. That's
He's a
fair.
gangster, but it's like they get into weird sort of slapstick situations and things.
And then Jack continues and he starts speeding up as he's running, as he's driving down the this particular street. And it looks like he's about to hit another car that's nearby him, so he spins it around. And then for a few seconds we actually see the truck tank coming towards him, barreling towards him. And Alec goes, "Come on, go." And it really looks like they're about to play chicken, with the
Oh, that
way
would be
that.
quite good, yeah.
Yes. Now, do you know what the game of chicken is?
I mean, I know what it is in movies, whether or not that's actually how it was, done. Oh, whether it's even ever been done in real life. Maybe it is only a movie thing.
Okay, so it's also known, besides chicken, it's also known as either the hawk dove game or the
Oh.
snowdrift game. And it's actually a model of, in game theory, about two players.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
And the principle of the game is that the ideal outcome is for one player to yield to avoid the worst outcome. If neither yields, individuals try to avoid it out of pride, not wanting to look like chickens. Each player taunts the other to increase the risk of shame in yielding. However, when one player yields, the conflict is avoided and the game essentially ends. Okay, so the idea is who's going to swear first? That type of thing. That's what it comes down to. And again, they've applied this whole theory to different types of conflicts in political science and economics and things like that.
Yeah, makes sense.
So the whole idea also of mutually assured destruction of nuclear warfare and deterrence and all that stuff, it all fits in with the idea of chicken.
It's I don't like it. I think it's there's too
You don't like it here, or
you're
you don't like the idea?
I don't like the idea because you're relying on other people
Yeah,
not
of course.
being sort of narcissistic and big-headed.
Okay, well, again, but that's the idea. I mean, in most movies where someone is having a real game of chicken, it's probably teenagers or stuff like that, when they're racing cars and stuff like that. The classic model is having two cars that are going across a single lane bridge from opposite directions, and the first one to swerve, is the loser of it. And obviously, if neither swerves, then they're gonna hit each other and possibly both die. I mean, my favorite movie game of chicken is from Footloose, the original
Oh,
Footloose from
interesting
1984,
choice, yeah.
where he actually, Ren wants the jump, but his shoelace gets caught on the accelerator and he can't get out. And he ends up winning because of it.
Brilliant choice. I wouldn't have thought of that one.
Yes. So yeah, again, the whole idea here is who is gonna who's gonna blink first, I guess you can say. And so we get this impression that that's what's about to happen here. And, you know, Yuri just looks at Jack and is in complete astonishment that this is what he's, planning on doing. You know, again, Yuri has this other plan going on that Jack doesn't know about, and neither do we at this point in the movie. You know, and he's thinking to himself, if he crashes me right now, we're in a lot of trouble.
Oh, yeah.
My plan is not going to work if we do it that way.
I do like the sort of the twist, shall we say, that he does have his own plan.
Yeah.
Because you don't really see that coming, to be fair. It doesn't put any hints, really.
No, not at all.
That I picked up.
Which is also one of the problems. There are no real hints about it. So, you know, it's just a plot point. It's not something. No, it's not something that's built up. You know, going back to the original Die Hard. Okay, when you're paying attention, you and with the things that Hans says and does. And, you know, even when he's interrogating Takagi and stuff like that,
yes.
When it's finally revealed what they want, you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Because
you don't question.
Build up. Here, it's like, what the fuck? You know, like, where's this coming from?
Well, I think it would go down easier for you, though, if, as we were talking about, if it was then revealed some big scheme he had, and that's why he was doing all that. But you don't really find out, like, some giant scheme.
That's right.
You know,
that's right. And again, there are no breadcrumbs along the way. Yeah. In the original Die Hard, there are breadcrumbs. You know, even in Die Hard 2, you know, the fact that Grant is a bad guy, there are also breadcrumbs along the way that if you're paying attention, you can figure it out. You know, Telford, you know, saying that he was just transferred in because the other guy got an appendicitis. Stewart is being told that there was a last minute, change in personnel. Like all these little, there are a lot of little hints that there's something is awry. So when it happens and then you think about it, you're like, okay, now I can sort of, and you know, the blue and red tape on the ammo clips, you know, all these little things help make it more palatable. Here, there's nothing to make it palatable.
True. That's the problem. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the so, and then Jack just leaves the van there waiting for this tank truck to show up, and then you know he quickly outmaneuvers and drives away, and the truck tank then just misses them and crashes into a whole bunch of cars that are right behind him. You know, again, this looks like a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Oh, someone please edit it with some like music from Looney Tunes stuff.
That's right. With you basically Bugs Bunny is you know has painted on the side of the on the side of a of another car, you know that you know an empty an empty street, and in the end he just crashes into these cars. I'm assuming that there are people in these cars. You know, again, very unpleasant for the people in these cars. And if there's nobody in these cars, why are there cars in the middle of the street that are abandoned?
This is an excellent, excellent question. I think they wanted it to be like super dangerous and scary and, you know, like, oh, there's people going to get hit. But they always, in the sequels, try and tame it a little bit and make it less violent.
Yeah.
So I think that's the compromise. Oh, you can smash things, but you don't want anyone in danger.
That's right.
And that takes away, like, the fun.
It takes away a lot. I mean, again, we had that at the end of Die Hard, of Live Free or Die Hard also, that you know they're just smashing through cars and they're all abandoned. So like, what's the fun of that? I mean, again, I'm glad that people are not getting hurt and people are not getting killed. I mean, we have enough movies where someone tries to save the day, and in the end, when you think about it, the number of people that they probably killed, you know, even a
like perfect every example, Marvel movie,
every Marvel movie. The perfect example that I always like bringing up is Revenge of the Sith. You know, where in the end they're able to crash land, you know, at the beginning, the end of the first sequence, they're able to crash land, you know, this destroyer, and it just smashes through so many buildings and whatever.
It makes takes you out like the people. Aircraft tower.
That's right. And it makes you wonder how many people they killed on their way. But, you know, whatever.
Absolutely crazy.
Yes, completely. And then Alex screams at the driver and goes, "Idiot!" And then we get to see John just driving casually, through the
Yeah.
streets of Moscow,
Like nothing's happening.
and he actually knows where he's going to be able to find them. Then the tank truck backs up and smashes another car. Just
It's almost like they were like, "Oh, hang on a minute, we missed one."
that's it. That's right. And then then we're back following the van with Jack, swerving in and out of traffic along the way. And then he reaches under the dashboard and pulls out a Bluetooth. So again, obviously this was planted by him.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Goes
That's
back,
the
goes.
biggest sign.
That's right. That's right. We know that this was what Jack had planned to do. And then he goes, Reaper one from 610. And then the shot changes, and we see a satellite image of the whole area. And then we see a bunch of military people, and we hear someone go, "Who's got him? Clock's running, Foxy. On the paper now, box on. Copy that, box on." "Okay, here we go. 6-1 Reaper, we read you. Go ahead." And he goes, "Reaper, how are we looking?" I mean, it's very confusing. The everyone's calling everyone else Reaper. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I tell you what though, I love that sort of indecipherable, confusing radio chatter in things. I love it. It reminds me, because I'm a nerd, of playing like Call of Duty. This whole bit is like Call of Duty. You call in like a drone to scan the area and all this. It made me think of that. And they're just, you call it in and they're just saying things. And I'm like, this could be real. I don't know. Like, it's just
Exactly.
noise. It's just stuff.
Yeah, and whatever. I mean, the whole conversation is just very strange. Again, it's meant to be confusing, and as with this movie, we get to see characters who are only going to be in one scene, and that's it. They make us want to believe that these characters are more important than they really are. And then someone he goes, "Your guy's late." And he goes, "His rate of progress is way off." He goes, "MET now plus 6 minutes." "MCC Reaper, MET now plus six."
See, it's just nonsense. I love it.
Yeah.
Could be in anything.
Yes, we see a drone. We see a timer in the background. Within this command center. We see a typical guy playing with his pen, the doing the way that Misha does it in GoldenEye, flipping his pen over his between his fingers.
I
It
do that
goes to show
all the
that somebody
time.
it
It must
goes
be
to show
so
that he's
annoying
really
for
bored.
people. Yeah. I based because of my ADHD, I'm like I have to always be doing something. And that's my main thing is if there's a pen, that's what I'm doing. And I won't distract you. I'll do it under the table or something. But it's going to be
Oh,
happening.
wow. Okay. Fair enough.
In fact, I'm doing it right now, and I've been doing it the whole
Wow.
episode. Let me just
Okay. That's good. That's good. Just don't drop your
Yeah,
pen.
I haven't yet, to be fair.
And hopefully you won't arm it along the way.
Oh, I can't guarantee that.
Okay. I'm far enough away, so I'm good. I need you to come back tomorrow, but hopefully you'll be fine by then.
If
If
there's a different guest tomorrow, you'll know what happened, listener.
that, and then we're back to the chase with Jack still avoiding anything in front of him, and this tank truck just plowing through cars. We see cars going flying all over the place. We get another satellite shot. We see the guys in the command center. Someone else says, "This is unfreaking believable, MCC Reaper. That's not how it works. Something's off. I know this guy.
I'm
This
with
doesn't
them. It
happen."
is unbelievable.
That's right. Yes. MCC Reaper 6-1 is on is in the hole. Stand by. 6-1, be advised. Your window is closed.
The thing that makes me laugh is presumably, like, people on radios communicate like that, so people, like, someone intercepting doesn't know what they're talking about. But it's quite clear what they're talking about. They're not being
Yeah.
that like deceptive there.
Correct.
You know what I mean? The window is closed. Oh, okay. So obviously his plan has failed. I could interpret that as someone listening in. So he's going to switch to another plan.
Right.
You know, because his window of
Now,
opportunity is closed.
I love that in the middle of all this babble chatter, we get a shot of Jack and we see his face and he's like squinting, trying to hear, his Bluetooth.
Yeah. It's not just me who does that then.
Exactly. Well, also this is 18-year-old Bluetooth technology, not the
Oh
same as
God, yeah.
we got today.
It used to be terrible. It barely worked.
And and then we hear time on target is a no-go, and he says, I say again, TOT is no-go. He goes, Reaper, this is real world, not exercise. Do you copy? Now, what does he mean by the fact that it's real world? Is he basically saying, since this is real, give me more time? And
I
don't they
think it.
know? And don't they know this isn't a training exercise?
No, I think it's more. I think they all know it's real. It's just sort of like I think he's trying to say he's reminding him, like wait, you know. I don't mean literally reminding him. I mean like it's almost like a slap around the face. It's like no, you know, this is real. I'm gonna die or you're gonna die, you know.
I have to save Yuri.
I think that's maybe what they're going for. Yeah, rather than. And no one's actually confused about this. They all know, you know.
Right. Right.
I think
And
it's like,
then
maybe it's like saying this isn't a goddamn movie, you know,
that's
something
right.
like
And then someone says to someone else, no, sir. Moscow police will have shut down the garden ring. He goes, Reaper, he's a no-go for extraction. Too late. Shut it down. Pull it. And then he goes, 6-1, mission window is closed. Reaper is out of here. Now, again, we see a drone. How is this drone supposed to reach them and extract them? I can understand if the drone is there in order to, blow something up, in order to give them cover or whatever it is.
Yes.
But it does not look like that is, a drone that was going to go into to actually rescue them.
Absolutely not. No, there's no way it's not big enough for a
Right.
start. I don't
So
even know if
again,
there is
I
a
don't know
drone
what
that's
the
big enough.
plan is.
I don't have a clue. I mean, when you initially see it, I just assumed it was like a surveillance drone and it's going to keep an eye on them and get the extraction team to them. But that doesn't seem to be what's going on now.
No.
Because that would make sense at least. Oh, we know where they are. You know, they're here. Extraction team, go there because they've got eyes in the sky. But there doesn't seem to be a team. So I don't know.
This was not planned very well, both the
No.
movie and the mission.
I mean, maybe we're missing something. Maybe someone listening is going to be like, "You fools!" If they mention this in their radio chatter that we don't understand. I don't know. I'm being generous.
That's good that you're being generous. And again, the editing is very quick editing to to make it seem as if everyone who's in this control room are part of this chase that's going on. It's very fast paced and stuff like that. They needed to balance the pace between the two types of scenes. You have Jack multitasking by talking on his Bluetooth at the same time that he's trying to avoid getting caught by the truck tank and not hit other cars along the way. And then he screams, "Come on, get me operations, Reaper." And then we hear someone in the back go, "Get Mike Collins looped in. Tell him it's plan B. Safe house. Go now."
I'm actually amazed they had a plan B because they don't seem like they've planned it much at all.
Well, again, they don't have much plan B, which we'll find out
But
next week.
at least there's some kind of an. At least there's a safe house. I didn't even think they'd have that.
Okay, true. Then he goes, "Plan B, no choice." And then Jack goes, "Shit, it's blown. They've shut the garden ring."
Do you think he knows sending him to a safe house is kind of just a way to keep him calm? And that they're thinking, oh, the mission's just screwed completely now. We're not getting him.
It could be.
Because I could see him doing that in real life, like sort of abandoning the undercover guy, you know.
Right. True. And again, Yuri has no clue what's going on here.
No.
He And then Jack takes out his frustration on the steering wheel and just keeps pounding and pounding and pounding.
His other best character moment. He's showing some passion.
Finally, some passion from Jack Courtney. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, it's the most passionate he's been in his career, I think.
And Yuri's
I'm so
listening.
mean to him. I feel bad. But there was just they just put him in everything. It was him and Sam Worthington. He was another
That's
one.
right.
Generic, like white guys who all look the same.
Right. And then we hear harvest is in effect. Keep on working. Let's finish this, Foxy. And at this point, Jack starts screaming, "Damn you, McClane! Damn you!"
I like, is he saying that to himself?
Well, he's not talking to John because John can't hear
Well,
him.
that's what, yeah, that's the thing. So I interpreted it as himself, and I love that. That's really cool. That's a great way to be angry at yourself on film, right?
True. Well,
And it also reminds me
no.
of The
Wait,
Rock, the wrestler.
you're saying when he says "Damn you, McClane," he's upset at himself?
Well, that's what I'm asking you. Yeah,
No, no,
is
no,
he?
no, no. He's upset at John.
I was really hoping it was himself because I thought that was cool.
No,
Ah.
he's Jack Gennaro.
But doesn't he?
He doesn't
Oh, that's a
refer to
good
himself as
point.
a
He
McClane
uses
at this point.
that's a good point. He uses Gennaro, doesn't he? Ah, there you go. Yeah. I forgot he doesn't use his dad's surname.
Come on, that's the trope of this series. You know,
I know, but it
if
barely
you are
brings it up in
married to
this
a
one.
McClane, you don't want to have anything to do with a McClane until he saves your life. Once he saves your life, then you're a McClane.
Yeah, well, again, if it was competently written, you would bring that up, but it's barely mentioned.
That's right. Yeah, and then we get a shot of John still, driving casually through Moscow with the van. Then we're back with the van. The van narrowly misses a car, and then it causes two other cars to go through, and then the tank truck that's behind them doesn't care and just plows through those cars. Which at that point you'd think that there would be people in those cars because
Yeah.
he barely just missed them. And then he ends up ramming Jack, but after he rams Jack, like, he pushes the van forward, and then another car gets in the way, and he smashes into that car too. I mean, they must have had a lot of fun shooting these scenes, destroying all these vehicles.
Oh yeah, looking for positives. I do like this chase because it feels like it's all real. I don't know if they've really CGI'd anything or if they have like little bits, you know. It felt like, oh, it's proper stunts, and I always appreciate seeing that.
True. Okay, makes sense. And this car is now stuck between the truck tank and the van, and they like move together in unison by moving this car. And then we get a shot of John catching up, and John gets so close that he's able to actually ram into the truck tank. He must have known where he was going with that.
Yeah, because he knows the city clearly.
And then we hear,
His one taxi drive gave him all he needed to know.
that's right. And then Alec goes, "Oh, f-." And then we get a shot of John. And what does John say? He goes, "Jack, I'm not done talking to you." Now, again,
Just chatting.
I think John McClane's having a senior moment here.
Yeah, maybe the character is because it's the only explanation, right? How is he hearing him? Oh, unless he's just talking to himself because John does that, you know.
Yeah, but he's saying about Jack. He's like, "Jack,
I
I'm not."
know, but maybe he's just saying it aloud, like because he's thinking that's what he's going to say to him. I don't know. Again, I'm being generous.
Don't know. And then this gives Jack the opportunity to spin the van around and try and get out of there. And John says, "Who is this?" And Alec is one track, and he goes, "Come on, go, concentrate, please. That's right. Come on through." Yeah. Yeah, the and then they just start continuing to smash into a whole bunch of other cars, and then John continues his chase. And then we see the van go through a narrow street where it barely misses all the cars that are parked there, And obviously, we know what's going to happen with the tank truck in just a few seconds. He goes through and just hits every single freaking car all the way down.
Doesn't even try and miss them.
Nope, not at all. Yeah, they're just unbelievable the way that they've crashed through all of these cars.
Oh, this would be the biggest news in decades in Moscow.
That's right. And what does Alex say? He goes, concentrate, please. Yeah, that's what he's telling the driver. Concentrate as you're smashing through all these cars.
Concentrate on smashing the cars.
That's, it could be. And every time we see John is calm. You know, yeah. He's
this is my problem. He should be freaking out.
That's right.
He's John used to freak out.
That's right. He's leisurely driving and chasing them. He's like, my son's over there.
I fully get the vibe. They kind of didn't bother explaining to Bruce what the scene is. Like, oh, just drive.
And then he takes out a the door of a car, which again makes you wonder: did someone just open that door and get ready to come out? And then they're gonna square. Oh. You know, like, why is that door open? Because it's a door open in the middle of the street, not in the curb. Yeah.
Unless they got out of the car because they heard about what was going on and they were scared and they ran.
That's right. On the radio, they said, get out of, if you're in Moscow, get out of your car. There are three crazy vehicles that are plowing through everything in Moscow.
It is possible. Unlikely, but possible. So I'm going to go with that.
Okay. And then, we get more intense facial expressions from Jai Courtney as Jack, as he once again makes a turn. Every time he turns the van, he's got facial expressions to show it. And then we see the truck tank also make this very steep left-hand turn to try to catch him. And then the truck tank just hits a car in the back of the car that's going in the other direction, and then it flies over the divider and just lands like on a throughway right below it. Again, a lot of damage here. And then John makes the same left turn, and he's still in pursuit. He's still trying to get as close as he can to this truck tank. And then we hear Alec sort of making a joke at the driver, and he goes, "See if you can hit this guy." But again, the chase just keeps going. I mean, this is almost an entire 5 minutes of chasing.
It's quite long, isn't it? It didn't. I'll tell you what, though, it didn't feel long when I was watching the movie. A lot of the rest of the movie did,
right?
But not this.
Again, it's edited quite well. You know, it gives us a lot of cars being smashed along the way. It's fun to watch. There's no question about that. And then it reaches the point where John sort of loses a little control, and then the shot changes and we see the van with Jack going over like a bridge, followed by the truck tank behind him, immediately followed by John. So you got three vehicles, one after the other. And the truck tank continues the chase of them and doesn't stay on the road. He goes through like a park. Just like smashes through it, smashes any car that's in its way, leaving so much damage along the way. It hits a van where you see so much glass just shattering, it really is. Again, I think you're right. These are fun scenes to watch, but overall, it doesn't help make this movie better. It makes these scenes more fun, and that's it.
It's very surface level. It's like, oh, this will keep people quiet. This is action-packed. And it is, but I need to care. That's the problem, and I don't really care. But again, at least they put some effort into this, because I've seen even worse movies where they have scenes like this and they couldn't care less about the action. Right. And that's depressing, because you haven't even got anything to hook you then, nothing.
It's a problem. And again, this
to be honest, I don't think the action in this doesn't even really top. It doesn't really get any better. Like, no. It gets worse.
Yeah. This is probably the best action scene in the movie.
Yeah,
And
with that,
again,
it's the one I remembered the most as well.
And again, we're 25 minutes into the movie. It's not as if we're that deep into the movie at this point.
No, it's a bad sign.
Yes. Yeah. But again, in fairness, when you go to a movie like this, you don't know how long it is. Yeah. So
that's true. It's true.
So you're gonna say to yourself, well, it's probably gonna be 2 hours like all of the other Die Hard movies. You know, this is the shortest one. This is 20 minutes shorter than any of the others.
I think that was a good call. Imagine this even longer. That would have not worked on another level.
No. I mean, that we know. Because, again, the plot is thin enough as is. If they were to stretch it out, it would be even thinner.
Because I don't think they cut more plot. I think they just, didn't have plot.
That's right. The extended cut is 3 extra minutes.
Yeah, that shocked me. That it was only 3. It's like, why bother at that point?
Yeah, there's really nothing for you to be able to say, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, again, I've only seen the original cut once, but watching this, other than the missing daughter, I didn't notice a difference.
Nope, I haven't noticed any other differences along the way either.
I reckon it's all tiny bit, like maybe this chase is like 15 seconds of extra smashing or something.
It could be. Again, I have absolutely no idea. I didn't do a shot-by-shot comparison because it's hard enough watching this movie than to actually, you know, watch it in two versions back-to-back.
Hard to watch, but good to talk about.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, again, I'm not complaining about that from that perspective. You know, we want to be able to see... you know, smashing. It's where's Hulk when you need him? Smash.
Exactly. Yes.
But alas, he's not here.
Oh.
But and that's pretty much how this segment ends. We're continuing the chase. We're getting ready for something to happen here.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that. The extended cut has a longer chase because we'll talk about this tomorrow when we get to it. The scene with the RPG happens in the theatrical cut at 24 minute mark. That's a minute. That's a minute earlier. So
okay, it's extra smashing then. I think
yes.
I think that's what's added the time. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which again, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. It doesn't really change the movie, but yeah, put it in. Who cares?
Yeah. Well, again, it gives us more to talk about here. So you know, they were being helpful to us.
They were thinking about you.
That's what they said. In 12 years, somebody's going to be watching this movie, and you know, we don't want them to agonize too much when they're going through all 5 minutes of this movie at a time. So you know, we'll throw them a bone, let them have a
thank
bit
you, producers. But you know what? We can make gold out of anything.
That's right. That is very true. So did you have anything else you want to say about this particular segment?
No, that's it for this bit.
All right. So today's segment is Franchise Fever, where my guests will give their top 5 movie franchises that have at least 4 entries.
Now, this was actually hard on two fronts, because one, there are a lot of franchises that have 3 good ones, and then they get bad.
That's correct.
So I didn't want to pick ones where I didn't at least like 4.
Okay.
That was my own criteria, was I have to at least like 4 of them in the franchise. And also the other problem was that there are still, when ruling out some of my favorite films ever, the Alien franchise, I'm not including that because I hate most of them. I like 1, 2, and 3. Terminator, the first two are 2 of my favorite movies. The rest of them are terrible, not including them. But even removing all of them, there's still loads. So much like yesterday, I have a million more if people think I'm weird. So I've picked a selection of my 8,000 to go here. And I've mixed genres as well.
Mm.
So number 5, I have one that might be surprising to people who aren't super fans of our show, because they know I like my Batman and things like that. But they also know that I'm an art film fan, and this is very much the opposite. Number five, I have something me and Niall go and watch all the time when it's released: the Fast and the Furious franchise. I think they're so ridiculous, and they know it. That's the difference. They're not
They
just
embrace
like
it. They
a
embrace
silly,
it.
they embrace it. They're not just a silly movie. I mean, the previous one, not the newest one, the one before, they go to space in a car. It's absolutely ridiculous. So me and Niall always just take in a bunch of Coronas because that's the drink of the movie. We just sit there drinking Corona, watching the new Fast and Furious, having a laugh. You laugh throughout the whole thing. It's great. And as I say, they always have conversations out of the car to each other. It's like, how are you hearing each other? How? I think in one of them they have an earpiece, and it's like, well, okay, that kind of makes sense. But they're so fun. I try and tell people they're almost an art movie in a way. In a way, because they're so pure in what they're doing. It's a masterpiece of silliness. And not everyone gets that, because a lot some people only remember the first one, which is great, but the first one's more like, oh, it's just Point Break. They've just remade Point Break. And it's not silly. It's around five. I think five onwards is where you're like, oh, this is incredible. There's one where The Rock leans out of a Jeep and pushes, because there's a torpedo skidding across ice. So he leans out his Jeep and pushes the torpedo out of the way of Vin Diesel and crew with his bare hands. Incredible. Number four, I've picked a different genre. I've gone with horror. So this is one I like. I basically like all of these except for maybe one. Nightmare on Elm Street. So I think pretty much all of them are good. And I was reluctant to watch this. I only watched this when I was like in my early 30s. Because I traditionally didn't like gore and things like that, and I assumed this was going to be super gory because Niall likes it and he likes that kind of thing. But no, I eventually caved. My ex really wanted to watch it, so we put it on, and I loved the first one that much. We then just watched the rest of them one a day, bam, 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 bam. And there's loads of them, and they're pretty much all good in some way or another. Even the worst ones are still enjoyable because Freddy's just a fun character. Again, he's just he's scary but fun, which is a difficult balance to get right. It would be easy to make it so you take the horror away with the jokes, which they do sometimes a little bit, there's one where he raps. That's a little bit too far, but okay.
Slightly.
It's still fun. You still enjoy it. Number three, I've gone with technically a sports movie, but it's not even really about the sport, this franchise. I've gone with the Rocky franchise because, again, I love basically all of them to different degrees. Rocky One, I think, is an actual like masterpiece, like Oscar-winning kind of movie. It's that sort of a thing. And then two is like an all right follow-up. It's kind of the same movie again. And then once you do three and four, you're like, oh, now we're into like cheesy, corny territory. And in a good way, it's like a complete pivot, but in an interesting way. It's like the best of that type of film. Five is a little bit. I know why people don't like it. I don't think it's terrible, but I don't love it either. But then you get six, which is almost as good as one. It's crazy. You could even include the Creed. The first Creed, at least. Is Rocky in the second one? I can't remember. But he's in the first one.
I don't remember if he's in the second one. I
Yeah.
think he's in
I
the
don't.
second one, but not the third. I think so,
Oh, it's the
but I
third.
could
It's
be
the
wrong.
yeah, I remember because the third one was so boring. Probably because he wasn't in
Yeah, it
it.
could be.
But so you could include the first two Creeds because they're technically it's the same character. So what a franchise. And I'm someone who's I don't like boxing.
But
I like wrestling
you
because
like
it's not
fake
real.
boxing.
Yeah, wrestling's great because it's not pe they're not trying to hurt each other. I don't want people actually trying to hurt each other. They're stunt people, essentially. In boxing, you're trying to hurt people, obviously. But so it's I don't really connect with that. But it's so powerful a movie. It's such a cool character. He's lovable, and he almost seems like someone who doesn't like boxing. It's weird. It's like he seems like the least likely boxer, you know, because he's so sweet and kind and stuff. So yeah, it's great. People listening, if you've never watched it because you don't like sports or boxing or whatever, doesn't matter. It's not about that. It's not about that. It's about the great characters. Number three, controversial that I've got it at number three.
Wait, that was number three.
No, that was, that was number, number, I'm messing up my own numbers here. Number two, controversial that I've got it at number two, is Batman. I should probably have it at number one, but that would be lying. That would be lying. And I don't think I would have had it at number two in the past. Like, if I was doing my normal list, I probably would have Indiana Jones here at number two, right? But through doing the show, I've come to appreciate the ones that I didn't like as much now. Okay. So now I love them. Now I like watching Batman Forever 1,000 times more than I ever liked watching Batman Forever. So it's really, it's bumped it up so much higher. Because I loved the two Michael Keaton ones, and then I was like, ah, the rest of them are okay. You know, they're fine. Now they're all good. So it's up there. It's part of my life now. It's interwoven with me. And again, now I think they're basically all good. I'm not massively keen on The Dark Knight Rises. I remember coming out of the cinema with Niall when that came out, and I was not happy. He was happy. I wasn't happy.
Interesting.
But I'm going to be interested in revisiting it whenever we eventually talk about it in some form. But the rest of them, they're all good. Even Batman and Robin. People think it's silly. Yeah, it's silly. They know it's silly. It's being campy. It's being stupid. Do they go a bit too far sometimes? Yes. But do I have a good time? Yes. The problem is, though, number one, this is always my number one. It always has been, always will be. And nothing can ever knock it off. It is Star Wars.
What it's a my surprise. Number one thing.
It's my number one thing in life. You know, I'm obsessed. I've always been obsessed since I was 3 years old. And it's never changed. I'm a weird, like, you know, I remember my book of technical specifications of the ships. I remember the full name of the X-Wing and, like, the fake manufacturer who makes the X-Wing. It's Incom, by the way.
Oh, wow.
It's the Incom T-65 X-Wing Space Superiority Fighter in the book. Nothing can top it. Even the prequels, right? I don't love them. I know they're not good. Do I watch them once a year? Yes, I do. And I've got a weird nostalgia for The Phantom Menace, I think, because it came out at the right time for me. It was, like, so exciting, and the build-up to it, you know. So even though it's not a great movie, watching it gives me that nostalgic feeling,
yeah.
You know. It's really nice. And then the sequels, I mean, the first two, I really like them. The third one is pretty bad, like, you know, we'll ignore that. And then recently you've had Andor, if we're going to include TV shows, you know, that's incredible to go along with Rogue One. Oh, my God. It's mind-blowing. If people haven't watched it.
I haven't watched season two yet. I'm waiting for a time because I want to binge it. So.
Please do. You might at first, right? I was like this because everyone said how good it was. First two episodes, I thought, oh, they're a bit slow. What are people talking about? What are they talking about? Nah. No, it goes crazy. And then you see that the first two actually being slow were a good thing. Right. It's like, it's really good. It's clever. And it's just, it's very, stuff that happens is very relevant to the world today.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that.
So, yeah, Star Wars, you can't, no one's beating it. Sorry, Batman.
Excellent. Okay, thank you very much for that list. So we also have the daily game of State Your Motto. So today, your state will be South Dakota.
Do you have any idea
where South Dakota is?
It's south of Dakota. No, I actually don't know. I'm going to guess from the name and what little I know of the USA, I'm going to guess it is maybe in the south somewhere-ish. Not like deep, deep south, but like south-ish.
No, okay. It's actually one of the most northern states.
Oh, there you go.
North Dakota.
I think the only
it, but still, it's in between. It's like in the middle, next to like where Minnesota is and Montana and
Okay.
stuff like that.
I know of Minnesota and stuff from like movies, and
Fargo.
is that with Fargo?
Yeah,
Yeah, Fargo.
Fargo's
Yeah,
in Minnesota.
because I like that accent. That's quite cool. I like that.
Well, Fargo is in North Dakota.
Oh, cool. No, it
North.
is, isn't it? Because it's yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah, see, my lack of knowledge of the USA means I don't remember
Okay, that's fair.
that.
You don't need to. Okay,
Well,
so,
it is kind of relevant to the story,
of
isn't it?
course,
Because
it's
remember,
cool.
they're not actually, if I remember, they're not actually in Fargo, are they? They're...
Most of the movie, they're not. No.
No.
Okay, so South Dakota, tell me which of these three is the real motto of the state of South Dakota. So your first choice is "Under God We Rule," "By and By," and "I Have Found It."
I have found it is calling to me. I'm going with that one. I have no reason, unlike last time. I'm not going to reason it. It's just instantly connected with that, which means I'm probably wrong, but
And
I'm going with I
you're
found.
correct that you are wrong.
Ah!
It is "Under God We Rule."
That was my first instinct until I heard the third one, and I was like, oh no, I'm pivoting. I'm pivoting. Under God We Rule. See, I thought that might be like where are the Mormons from? Like
Utah.
Salt Lake, yeah,
Utah.
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 I thought maybe it might be something like that.
Nope. No, sorry. All right. So, John, would you like to tell everyone where they can find you?
Yeah, check out my podcasts, Bat Minute, Miami Minutes, Hedvig, Inch by Angry Inch. Just look them up on any, wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, or all of them. We're everywhere. And if you want to check out the band I'm part of, we're called Pete Bentham and the Dinner Ladies, which is like very super English. So if you like weird English things, check us out.
All right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie on Minute. You can find me on Facebook, find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on my website, movieonminute.com. And if you feel like sending me an email, you can send it to movieonminute@movierob.net. So, John, you want to come back for yet another segment to complete the triple?
Absolutely. The chase only gets better.
Okay, that is true. All right. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay. Some folks are born and made to wave the flag. Oh, they're red, white, and blue. But it ain't me, it ain't me. I ain't no fortunate one.